what they want is the benefits that each of those types of products convey.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Marketing Development Podcast. I am your host, Pete Everett, and today we are talking to Tyler Bream about marketing and launching a product. Tyler offers some great value, so rather than me mess on about, let's just get on with the show. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. Today I am joined by Tyler Bream. Tyler, how are you doing?
Man, I'm really good. How about you?
I'm very well, thank you. Tyler and I have known each other for a few months, and we've been Tyler's been helping me with some stuff to do with funnel building and the resources that are required to do with that, and I thought he'd be a great person to get on the podcast. So Tyler, do you want to tell the boys and girls at home a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm a product launch manager, which as oftentimes, you know, when you're deep in the middle of something, saying what you do and actually describing what you do every day is sometimes difficult. But I do two things for clients all over. One, I actually physically manage product launches. So if somebody wants to do maybe they have a list and they want to do like a joint venture launch or bring on affiliates to manage a product launch through affiliates, I do those. In fact, I have a big one coming up here this next week. The other thing that I do as a product launch manager is help people set up automated marketing systems so that they can make kind of reliable, predictable monthly sales month after month, week after week, day after day.
Okay, cool. So I know when we were last in contact, you were actually helping me out with some of this sort of funnel side of things, but you sort of... You kind of have two levels of service, don't you? So you, literally somebody can come and employ you as a product manager and say, look, I've got this product, and that might be a course, or it might be a book, or it might be a physical thing I'm trying to sell, or whatever it is. I've got this product, and you can come and join them and literally take the process from the start to the finish. But then you also offer some consultancy services as well, don't you, for people that don't necessarily want that kind of full-on sort of support?
Yeah. So the difference between the two is if somebody already has a list of maybe 1,000 people or more, or they have people, affiliates already lined up and they don't want to go through the work of managing a number of affiliates to market for them, I will go ahead and do that. But if somebody doesn't have any of those and is starting from scratch, typically the way I work with them is coming in and in a consultancy role to help them kind of develop an automated sales system that kind of makes sales while they sleep.
That's that, you know, you make it sound so appealing and so attractive.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to wake up every morning and know they've earned some money overnight? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you want to sort of take us through the process then? So let's use me as an example. For example, I've got a list of 1,000 people or more, and I've just developed a new course and I want to launch it. And I launched it, or tried to do like a soft launch 3 weeks ago. I got zero or, you know, very, very little conversion. What do we do? Where do we go?
Yeah, so typically when we come in, the first thing that we do is we do a damage assessment. Typically, when somebody comes in and they've misfired like that, there's problems in a couple of different areas, or a couple of different areas. Number one, they might be marketing the wrong product to the wrong people. For example, if, you know, just to use kind of a generic example, maybe you're in the make money online business, but everybody who has opted into your list is interested in, I don't know, underwater basket weaving. It doesn't matter how compelling your product is, how good your service is, how awesome your copywriting is. If it's not tailored to the people and what they actually want from you, they're not going to listen. And that happens a surprising amount of time because a list owner or a product creator thinks, man, my product is so freaking awesome. Everybody's going to want this. And they don't realize that people opt into your list or they listen to you for certain messages. So if you're kind of going outside of that scope, you're typically not going to do well. The other thing is that there might be physical defects with the product or service. So, maybe the links were broken. We see that more often than you'd ever expect. or links are broken in emails, or you see people who, you know, maybe the actual sales process, the process to actually enroll in the course is so complicated that people don't actually finish the process. And making something simple is surprisingly hard. The other area is just bad copywriting, where you're talk all about how many videos or how many meetups or what technology you're going to use to fulfill your product or service. And the people really, they don't care about any of that. They care about the benefits and the transformation that you're going to give them. And so we kind of start by doing a damage assessment. And typically we find issues in one of those three areas and then we work to correct those. From there on, we kind of follow the a standard product launch process, which means we kind of we stop back, and then rather than just trying to launch the product all over again, we take some time and we kind of build some goodwill with your list. Because if you've misfired with your list, if you've made a promotion to people that they don't actually buy, you gotta repair that relationship a little bit. And so we spend some time really developing some high level teaching content. Then when it actually comes to the product launch process, and again, to be clear, even though we're not selling anything during these several weeks where we're just delivering teaching, they don't know that we're in a product launch process, but we are. It's called, you know, Jeff Walker calls it the pre-launch phase or the pre-pre-launch. And the idea is they don't know something's coming, but we are developing specific teachings or trainings that are preparing them to receive a sales message that we want them to get later on. And then it kind of depends on what is the method that we're going to use to sell. Typically, there's three types of launches. There's email launches, where you sell via a specific email sequence. There's webinar launches, where you get people to opt into a live webinar or a recorded webinar, and then you sell from that. And then there's a video launch. Different clients, depending on their technical skills and things like that, want to do different types of launches. And so we kind of assess which launch style is right for them and their customers and their situation. And then we kind of we actually do the launch, and then I manage the rollout of the actual product, whether it's a service, whether it's a course or something like that. And typically it's a digital product, although we've launched, you know, physical books and things like that. So, you know, I have some VAs who help oversee kind of the actual physical product delivery and things like that.
That's cool. So you've really gone into that. You've really gone into that quite well. I noticed that from, you talked about the needing to build trust with your list. Mm-hmm. We've run some funnels for companies that essentially sell luxury products. You know, we work for one client, for example. In fact, Rob, their marketing manager, has been on the podcast a couple of times. So he won't mind me talking about him, but they sell hot tubs, for example. You know, nobody actually needs a hot tub in their life. It is purely a luxury purchase. And secondly, it's not a cheap luxury purchase either. You know, it's not like you're going and getting a better quality bagel for your lunch or something. You know, it's costing a significant amount of money. And actually, we saw a great uplift in his footfall, particularly through like the winter months, because their sales normally peak when people go on holiday and they maybe stay somewhere that has a hot tub. They come back and all of a sudden the weather's nice. They think, yeah, we could do with one of those in the garden. They sell lots from April through to September. And then from October through to March, when the weather's cold and it's drizzly, we do drizzle very well in Britain. You know, nobody wants to know about a hot tub at that time of year. So his sales drop off. And we found that through having those educating and sort of experience giving emails and the copy that goes along with those, we managed to not only increase his sales through the winter, but actually, I mean, they're not quite at a level where they're balanced out yet, but actually, you know, we've managed to sort of continue that momentum through the year. So there is a flow for his products right throughout the year. And I know that's an offline product, but it's I'm really just trying to sort of talk about the mentality of the process.
But you know, whether you're selling online or offline, the principle is the same, right? I mean, in the winter months, you don't want a hot tub because you want to sit out in the cold and have the top half of your body frozen solid and the bottom half of your body warm, right? In the winter months, you want a hot tub because you're dreaming, right? You have this picture or this story playing your head about being in a hot tub with friends or with your spouse or with your significant other, in the summer months, you know, enjoying yourselves. And if you can, That's the principle that's playing here. People want what they don't have. In the winter months, they want to be outside. Maybe they can't be in the pool or whatever. You know, I live in the rural South, so everybody here has pool. Because you do drizzle well, we do searing hot weather really well. And you know, and so you know, everybody here has a pool. But in the winter time, everybody's stuck inside. And so you always want what you don't have. So there's that mentality, and that works no matter what your niche is or what your industry is. You know, the thing about a hot tub is that people don't actually want the hot tub itself. Just like when they buy a course, they don't want the course itself. When they buy a coaching program, they don't want the coach themselves. What they want is the benefits that each of those types of products convey, you know? And that's a really powerful thing that you have to grasp a hold of if you're going to sell any product. That they don't care what your product is. They don't care how big it is. Frankly, they don't care how expensive it is, as long as it conveys a specific benefit. You know, the example I use when I'm talking to clients is people don't buy a Mercedes because they need a car, right? If they just needed a car, they'd go down to the used car dealership and buy a used Fiat or whatever. They buy a Mercedes not because they need a car, but because it conveys specific benefits, a specific view, a specific transformation that a Volvo could never convey. Mm. You know, and tapping into that, what they actually want, makes all the difference in terms of your marketing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is part of where sort of marketing never stops, and where positioning yourself as a trusted advisor and offering that value to your audience through regular communications, be there that, you know, social media or email or YouTube or whatever it might be. That's where you really start to sort of turbocharge this, isn't it? But it's a process that takes a long time. You're talking weeks rather than hours or days.
Yeah, you know, we've all been in a situation where we go to a used car dealership and the person comes at us and immediately tries to sell us a car before they've even gotten to know us, you know? Mm. And you're immediately on your guard there. You know, that's why we have warm-up email sequences. That's why we don't start off trying to sell them something immediately, typically. That's why we start off by giving them value, because they've got to know that we have their best interest at heart if we're ever going to make them actually make a sale, if they're actually going to buy anything from us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the thing that interests me really in all of this is that the majority of this happens through good old-fashioned email. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, we see so many developments in technology each year, and we see, Instagram TV or Instagram live stories, or we see Facebook then doing live stories. I know they're owned by the same company, but okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we see all these developments, but actually the platform you turn to, or the medium you turn to for your launches, is good old trusty email that we've had since 1990 whatever. Mm-hmm. And I realize you'll be putting tracking software and all that kind of stuff on it, but it is the medium of just sending somebody an email that appears on their phone or in their inbox on their computer, and that's, I take it, that's still where you get a good traction. That, you know, do you do anything else for conversion, I guess, is the shorter question I'm trying to ask.
So email is where it's at, in my opinion and in my experience. We do things with Facebook groups and things like that, but our launches are all based on email just because that's what converts. I mean, email converts 10 times better than social media, than Facebook posts or anything. And it's because it's harder to get onto somebody's email list, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why email converts is because it's easy to like a page on Facebook. Everybody's liked some third cousin's Norwex page on Facebook, right? and everybody has, you know, left a comment on something, or they've seen an Instagram post or anything like that. Those are easy. And because they're easy to get into, people don't pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. But people don't give out their email addresses for anything. You know, you have to provide some value to get their email address. And if they go through the process of actually giving you their email address, they're actually interested in what you have to hear. And so, although it's harder to start a relationship with somebody via email, it's much more profitable, and you can continue that relationship really well. And the beautiful thing about it is, like you said, you have tracking software, you have hard data. I mean, you can split test every subject line. You can segment your list, as deeply as you want. And so you're tailoring your sales messages to people who are in a specific place or in a specific subgroup and things like that. And so if somebody gives you their email address, that means that you've guarded some even basic level of trust with them. And because the bar to get into their inbox is higher, they pay attention to those messages that come into their inbox. And the beautiful thing is once you get in, I mean, every email you send, you can get just incredible amounts of data via open rates and read-through rates and all these different things. And so you can, the beautiful thing about email is you can customize and tailor and segment your list deeper and deeper and deeper to make sure the people who you want to hear the right message more and more and more the longer they're on your list, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I it really did, you know, the conversation we had before was about, it was about discussing, I was putting a course together and I wanted to discuss with the audience about, you know, about some of the subject matter and actually trying to get that conversation going via email. That was what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And you were giving me some hints about, you know, some like putting an offer in there or a hook in there or, you know, different ways to actually get some level of interaction with this particular email and the content of this particular email over other emails that you may receive.
One of the things that makes, that people make mistakes about is that they, when they announce their offer, they think they need to sell their offer at the same time. This is a mistake that successful marketers don't typically make. We think we've created this course, we've created this product, we've created the service, and so they need to know about it so they can buy it. And so in the same email or the same Facebook Live or the same moment that we say, hey, we have this, we say that we want you to buy it. And it's like we go from meeting somebody to trying to get married all in the same moment. People are just not into that. You got to kind of woo them a little bit. And buying something, especially if it's a premium level product, you know, I typically tell my clients, we're not going to sell anything less than about $197 US because it's just not worth it for a lot of my clients to sell anything for less than that. Mm. So you can't just say, hey, I have this course, pay me $197 US and then we'll go buy it. That doesn't work. What becomes powerful is you say, hey, I've got this thing coming down the pipe and I'm not going to sell it to you now, but hey, can you just respond to this email and give me a couple, your top questions about this topic? And I want to make sure I cover them to make sure that I'm actually delivering something that's of real value to you. People eat that up because they're used to hearing these hard sales messages all day long and they're primed to hear that. But when you zig and when you say, hey, I've got this coming, and they're expecting you to say, buy my product now, and you end up saying, you can't buy my product now, but I want to make sure I deliver for my people what they actually want to hear. So just tell me what you're interested in learning about this topic. That draws people in and it gets them ready to go and it gets them excited and it builds that anticipation because they feel like they've had a part in creating the product and they're more than willing to buy the product that they helped create because they know it'll meet their actual needs.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I've got to say, from the emails that I sent out following your advice, we got some great feedback back. And you know what? That informed part of what we were producing at the time. So it was, you're unconsciously thinking about selling without actually selling right back, you know, almost weeks and months before you're actually in a position to do it.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience, or are any of your clients sort of more corporate customers, or are they all more sort of individuals, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, that kind of thing?
A lot of them are people. So my stereotypical client is typically somebody in their 50s who has spent the last 20 to 30 years developing a specific craft in a specific industry. And I've had everybody from veterinarians to pharmacists who develop mm-hmm. specific knowledge in a specific topic. And the reality is they come to the point where they hate to do what they're doing. They hate to go into the office every day. And so a lot of them are individual clients. One of my early clients, and this is a kind of a funny story he wouldn't mind me telling, was a veterinarian. And he was a vet who was a conventional vet, and then he became kind of a holistic or alternative vet. The problem was about 15 years ago, he developed severe debilitating allergies for animals. And having a vet who is allergic to cats and dogs is a pretty bad thing. And so he was only working like part time. Like he could only open his office like 3 days a week because it would take the other 4 days for him to physically recover to go back to seeing pets again Monday through Wednesday. And he was desperate to get out, but he was in his early 60s at that point. You know, he wasn't technologically advanced, and he had wanted to kind of build something online to get away from seeing pets physically. And so we connected up at a conference. You know, I took him on as a client, and within 12 months, we shut down his 12 months almost to the day, we shut down his physical practice, and he's now 100% online. The dude can barely open up an email link, but his practice is 100% online. He's got courses. He's got he does phone consultations with caretakers all over the world. He's got, you know, clients in everywhere from Norway to Spain to Australia. And then he's got a membership site as well, and he doesn't have to see pets anymore. So a lot of them are solopreneurs who just don't have the technical skill to kind of weave together these sales messages. That it really takes kind of this experience and this, you know, fine tuning of the message that most people don't actually really have experience to do.
I think that's a key point that you're raising there, because, you know, there's with the advancements of the technology, like we've just been saying, and the services that are available, you know, you can, there's even if you're thinking of embarking this upon this journey yourself, you know, you're right. There's so many $197 courses that you think, all right, well, you know, I can chuck a few quid against one or two or three of those and learn how to do this myself. But actually you end up with so much choice. There's so many different avenues that you could go down. And if you don't really know what you're doing, you'll start playing with a lot of them, but actually not really exploiting any of them. And I'm guessing that's really where your skill set, where your expertise comes in to say, you know, this is the way that I recommend we do this to begin with. And we can then gate it here. We can track it here, there, and, you know, at X, Y, Z, we can A/B test that. And then we're in a better place to make more informed decisions as the launch develops. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's funny. My entire business started because of that exact thing. In fact, I was a launch manager before I even knew it was a thing. you know, I was in a corporate world and I was miserable. My wife just had our child, and I was tired of working 60 hours a week, not seeing him but an hour a day and all of these things. And so I quit my job, and I did not know what we were going to do at this point. I just quit my job. And a local entrepreneur who owned several businesses, physical businesses in town, said, well, why don't you just kind of work part-time for me while you're kind of figuring stuff out? And I said, great, I'm excited to do that. And he sent me to a conference 3 weeks after I started working for him part-time. And somebody at the conference right before, we were in a Facebook group, and they said, hey, I love this marketing stuff, but I just not in a place to do it myself. Is there anybody who can do it? And I hadn't done anything of consequence for him yet. And I simply responded to the message saying, hey, I do launches for another guy. I'd be willing to talk to you. By the end of the conference, I had closed two additional clients, and I had three clients, and I hadn't even done anything marketing wise yet. because what happens is they buy these courses, and some of these courses go up to, you know, $1,000 or more. You know, and the problem is they tell you a specific system, and that's fine. If you want to follow an ABC plan, you can do that. But if you don't understand why they're doing certain things, if you don't understand how to construct a sales message, then good luck really making the business and the life that you want as a result of this product. Because there are so many little things. You know, just for example, you know, I hit on this all the time with my clients because, right, some of my clients, they're unsure about why we do certain things. And I was working with a counselor one time, and we were redoing her Psychology Today profile. And I basically rewrote it for her, and I said, this is what you need to put up. And she was like, I'm not sure about that. It doesn't actually tell anybody what counseling services I offer or what problems I help people solve. You know, I'm an expert in child psychology and things like that. And I was like, just put it up and trust me. And she put it up, and 3 weeks later, her practice completely filled up. And everybody was saying, I saw your Psychology Today profile, and I needed to work with you. And I said, yeah, it didn't say anything of real consequence. But we met them at their place of need, and basic copywriting principles like we employed with her Psychology Today profile, or basic email sequence principles, are for somebody like me who writes an email sequence every week, they're old hat, and I've done them so many times, I don't really think about it much. But when you first do it, there's so many moving parts and so many frustrating elements that you can get wrong, and you don't even know what's going on, that it can really derail you. And the problem with that is that a lot of people try it once. They spend 6 or 8 months or even a year trying to do it themselves. It doesn't go well, and they sunk so much time and energy into it. It doesn't matter how big the launch is. It's just not worth it to keep going. And so they abandon their dream of building this product or service, having never really gotten it, given it a fair shot.
Yeah. We have a similar experience with clients that we do digital marketing services for. So we're a sort of small to medium sized agency. There's 8 or 9 of us working for it. So, you know, we're taking on clients and saying, what do you want to achieve online? How can we make your business more efficient online? Is that sales? Is it process? Is it, how does it work? And then we've got the team that we can put in place to action that. And the number of conversations we have with people where they say, you know, the first meeting is often one of the hardest, because everybody's really pumped and really excited to get this thing going. And actually, I'd say 5 times out of 10, you've got to deliver some harder hitting news to say, you know what, you've just given me, you know, 37 good ideas for this campaign, but you know what, I'm only going to start with 2 or 3 of them. And that's where, you know, you almost got to rein them back in a little bit to actually say, you know you want the full pie, but in order to get the full pie, we have to start with the first few ingredients, and that's what we're going to do. And then we build layer, and then we build layer, and we build layer. And you're right, within, it depends on the project, but you know, within 6 months, within 12 months, we're at the pie.
Yeah.
But it's about enjoying the thing that I like doing, and the thing that you know, I see with the guys that work for us, is we enjoy the journey of getting from A to B. Whereas what happens with the clients is they only see B. They own, mm-hmm. That's where they want to be. They want to get there as fast as they possibly can.
It's funny, you know, I experience some of the same things from an individual perspective. Part of my job as a launch manager, when I'm working with these clients for 6 months at a time or longer, is part of my job as a psychologist, because a lot of these people, they've never actually done this before. And as an entrepreneur, you know well that having an idea and actually executing the idea are two very different things. Yeah. And so these people, right, it's a Monday afternoon, their day at work has just sucked. And so they hold on to this dream of having this product, this digital business, and it keeps them warm when everything else falls apart. But there's this immediate kind of psychological dissonance that occurs the minute you start creating that dream and become making it a reality, because it's safe to dream privately on your own when you're mad at your, you know, third meaningless meeting of the day. But when you actually have to start doing the work to put it out there and face some of the potential rejection that you might get, or actually do the work to create it, what you don't realize is your dream is not about the actually accomplishing the dream. Your dream is about the benefits of the dream, right? Everything's about benefits and what you want. And so people get really afraid and nervous at the process of activating the dream. And that's really what holds a lot of entrepreneurs back, is they buy a course because they think that it'll help them build the dream. And then when it actually comes to creating it, man, they're so scared. And I get it, you know, because you're putting yourself out there. And when somebody says no, they're not saying no to somebody else's product. They're saying no to you. And it feels personal. But if you can overcome that, man, the benefits, the life that you can create, the business that you can create, the freedom that you can create in your life is extraordinary. But it's hard. It's hard to get through that kind of psychological issue.
And building on that, there's an element of understanding what your skill sets are versus the skill sets that you maybe need to bring in. When I first left uni, my wife and I had just got married, and we moved to Sheffield, and I got a job working for a church as a youth worker, and I worked there for nearly 3 years, and then the economy crash started to happen in 2006-2007, and my employment came to an end, and the church where I was at, I mean, I, you know, obviously I don't want to give out too many details, but the church where I was at, to be perfectly frank, handled it really badly. And, you know, I fell out with Christians for quite a long time after that. But what as kind of, as you sort of grow on from that experience, what it made me realize was, you know what, ministers aren't necessarily made to be managers. We all have our own, we all have our own skill set. And, you know, your guy, your illustration with the vet, he's an exceptional vet. That doesn't make him a marketer.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that sell in hot tubs, they know a lot about hot tubs, but they don't necessarily know a lot about how to attract an audience online, for example. So it's about understanding where your skill set is and admitting that, you know, we're all human. None of us are going to be experts in everything. And that's where we then start to join the connections between experts in marketing, the authors or the course creators or whatever it is, the product creators themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, you then get a much more rounded team, a rounded result, because you've all played to your strengths.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem, is that we think that if we're good at one thing, it makes us good at something else. But creating a product and selling a product are two totally different things. That's why in the corporate world, right, they separate these tasks out. And just because you might be a small business or might be a solo venture or something like that, doesn't mean that you have the skills to do everything. You know, even I outsource some of my work as a marketer to people who are skilled in sub areas that I'm not skilled in, or I choose not to take on certain clients because I know that I'm not skilled in this particular area, or I can't meet their specific needs, you know? Knowing what you're good at and having the humility to bring somebody else in and say, hey, look, I'm good at creating this product, but man, I don't know how to sell it. That really creates the synergy of a situation. It's in, you know, that's what where you really start to create the business that you want, because, you know, specialization breeds success. It just does in every area of life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, Tyler, look, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I've got other things I thought of that I was going to ask you, but I think we'll leave it there because we seem to have come to a good place. If people wanted to reach out to you, how can they get hold of you?
My website is tylerbream.com, T-Y-L-E-R, B as in boy, R-E-A-M as in man, tylerbream.com. You go there, you can check out what I'm doing. Reach out to me. I've got contact information on there. Just check out my website.
Fantastic. Cool. Well, I'll drop a link to that in the show notes. I'm not 100% sure what the URL is going to be yet because I haven't created the, you know, I haven't scheduled it in yet. So, but if you listen to the intro or the outro, there'll be a link to the show notes. And Tyler, man, thanks for your time. Great to connect. I'm so pleased that you were okay after Hurricane Florence that came through the other week.
And, hey, thanks for rescheduling. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks, man. So there we have it, episode 22 in the can. Thanks again for your time, Tyler. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/022. And come and join us in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, where we can continue the discussion about how to market and launch your product. See you next week.